Got people at this end of the room and this end of the room, so I'll be doing a lot of this morning, I guess. So thankful you all are here. As you may have seen from the bulletin or the calendar, I'm going to do an update on Mozambique. You kind of know they're hard up for presenters when you see me up here at the pulpit, so I'll do the best I can here, but it's a lot of people absentee. And we've been talking about giving an update on Mozambique for quite some time. So just so thankful you all are here. And I don't kid myself either. I know that I'm not nearly as fun to listen to as Charles Woodrow. I even get a real kick out of listening to that guy, but he can't always be here. And there's a lot going on. So today I'm going to work through this. I've been told when I speak in front of big groups, I don't always speak real loud. So you guys in the back need to really listen up. And might get going kind of fast today, too, because there's a lot of material to cover. In preparing for this, it wasn't, oh, what do we talk about? What do we put in the presentation? It's what do we leave out of it, you know, because there's a lot of people or maybe some people here that don't have the long history with the Woodrows. And so I want to kind of give a foundation and give some information on, you know, updates on the family and things like that. And then we'll get into where I'd like to, you know, spend most of the time, and that's on current affairs. I'm not exactly technologically challenged, but I couldn't quite get this video integrated into the PowerPoint. So I'm going to do the video first. It was going to come in on, like, slide number 5, and then I'm going to shut this down and go over to the PowerPoint and get into the presentation. With all of that being said, let me go ahead and pray for our morning and the presentation. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Woodrows and all of the ministry activity in Mozambique as you have told us to go out and make disciples of all nations. All of us are not necessarily called to go abroad and witness and evangelize, but may we support those that do with much fervor and with all of our hearts, Lord. And we pray for them, lift them up, pray that you strengthen them, Lord. I pray for my presentation today that I would glorify you in what I speak, that you would give me the words to accurately represent what's going on over there and to give a clear update of all of your works in Mozambique. And we are so thankful for your presence there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start the video. It's a 5-minute video. It's kind of on the fence whether to stick it in or not because we'll be a little tight on time.
Well, my name is Charles Woodrow, and we're here in Nampula, Mozambique, right off his website, where my family and I have lived for the past 20 years. Where I've been serving as a medical missionary and church planter, and lately involved in literature distribution ministries and pastor training conferences. Mozambique is a country of about 20 million Africans. It was a Portuguese colony until gaining its independence in 1975. At that time, the colonial government turned the reins of power over to Marxist liberation fighters who had carried on a 15-year guerrilla war. Well, this was the country that our family came to in 1990. The Civil War still raged. The only way you could come into our city was by air. The roads were all ambushed or mined, and the only way you could travel was to travel in military convoys. The hospital where I worked at for the first 8 years that I was in Mozambique was attacked and overrun by guerrilla soldiers 4 times. It was an ardently communist country where it was illegal even for pastors to come into a government hospital and stand at the bedside of one of their own church members and pray out loud because the government was so appreciative of the medical care that was being provided and the supplies that were being sent by churches at home that they never interfered with that ministry. All of our patients who went to the operating room were prayed over before the operation so that they could understand where we were putting our hope and our trust. And in 1996, at the peak of that evangelistic ministry, over 4,000 people heard a full, detailed presentation of the gospel. Thousands of scripture portions were handed out for free, and that was just during 1 year, and that was just at the Sunday afternoon evangelistic services. Well, the communist government itself had decided they'd had enough of communism. It wasn't working for them, and they adopted a democratic form of government, drew up a new constitution, and established their economy on free market practices. So we've seen a lot of changes in Mozambique during the time that we've been here. Here at this hospital, which isn't a government hospital, we'll have even greater opportunities to present the claims of Jesus Christ. We're looking for 2 general surgeons or people who can do general surgery. We're also looking for a nurse anesthetist or an anesthesiologist, a hospital administrator, and a family practice doctor or somebody who's a generalist who can run the clinic. One of the reasons that the hospital has been built, and this is understood by the Ministry of Health and and they're very keen to promote it, is that the hospital is to be a teaching institution. We are to train the Mozambican doctors in surgery, train the nurses as well in the local nursing school. There is a medical school right across the road from us and about 500 yards down. They will be very keen to any teaching that our medical personnel can provide, as well as at the Downtown Central Hospital. One of the things that's been very satisfying over the years is to see how the Lord has been in the ministry and opened up so many opportunities for service. It started out as strictly medical evangelism, but the Lord raised up a church through that, and so now we have church planting as well. And then the medical evangelism caused us to see that there was a real need for meaningful follow-up on the part of the surrounding churches. And so we were thankful that Editora Fiel, which is an excellent publishing house that translates excellent literature from English into Portuguese, Christian literature along the lines of Banner of Truth, if you're familiar with that publishing house, giving away Christian literature, helping us to establish a bookstore where we can sell it very inexpensively, and establishing training conferences for pastors that are attended by pastors who come from all over the 10 provinces of Mozambique and from 40 different denominations, 200 to 350 pastors annually coming to these conferences. But we need people to help us plan and carry out those conferences, which takes me a full month of intense preparations, and then after it's over I usually spend another month getting ready for the next year's conference, as well as the training seminars that have already been underway for 6 years. The conferences have been going on for 11 years. Someone who could take responsibility for the Christian bookstore, which would take one full day a week minimally, just to oversee the workers who are there. Such wonderful opportunities in a land that 20 years ago was so close to the gospel, that was ardently Marxist and atheistic in its orientation, but where today the door is open wide. We're looking, of course, for people who will be sent out as missionaries under the authority of their own local churches, not just them coming to Mozambique, but their churches standing behind them to support them financially as well as spiritually and emotionally. And so we would like to see these people in the pipeline, people who have a passion for evangelism, passion for the souls of men, and a desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ glorified and worshiped and served by people all over Mozambique.
Okay, so that video is a couple of years old, but really very relevant today. Is, you know, I usually, when the subject matter comes up of Grace Medical, it's, how's the hospital coming? You know, when's the hospital going to open? That's the focal point, and that's important, and we're working diligently to make that happen. But I want to kind of clarify something. You know, Belinda and I have gone to several conferences of the medical mission, missions in general. Humanitarian aid seems to be the go-to focal point of most of the missions out there. With Grace Medical and Grace Missions, the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ is first and foremost. So the medical side of it, or the bookstore, or the FIEL conference, or the dental clinic is a means to present the gospel. So even though it seems like, you know, hey, maybe things aren't going on there, there is a tremendous amount of stuff going on. If you doubt that for a moment, what I would encourage you to do is hop on a 34-hour trip to Mozambique and check it out for yourself, because you'll be changed for life if you do. Short on time, and I'm already going off script. My wife has full permission to interrupt me or correct me. She knows far more about the daily mechanics of the ministry than I do. She's the executive director appointed by the board a couple of years ago. I took a title under duress. I figured, you know, without a title, I've got plausible deniability and I can run wild. But they came up with a pretty cool one. Special Operations Coordinator. I'm like, well, if I have to take a title, that one's not a bad one. So I just kind of jump in here and there as things are needed. Let me give you a quick outline of what's going on so there's no hidden agendas here. I'm going to give you a quick update on the family, a little bit about Mozambique and the geography, a little bit of history, actually quite a bit of history on Mozambique. I'm going to move through that really quick. It's from a presentation Charles did a few years ago, just some bullet points. Overview of the ministries, all the things some of which I just mentioned, but what's actually going on under the umbrella and influence of the Woodrow ministry, what's happening in Africa as a continent right now, and then where I'd like to get to is current events and a little bit about the Rapali property development. It says fundraiser. This is not a meeting about fundraising. Okay, there's always a need. We all know that. But there is a particular project underway right now, so we're going to talk about that. But this, we're not going to pass the plate. I'm not going to send out pledge cards. There's always a need, but I do want to make you aware of a very exciting thing that's coming down the pipeline. This is the most recent Woodrow family photo, and that's at Andrew's wedding a couple months ago. The only person missing here is Anna, Kent's wife. We'll see her in a picture coming up here in a minute. The tall blonde kid in the middle is Andrew, and the short Vietnamese girl is his wife, Jennifer. Lovely girl, absolute sweetheart. That's them together. And here's Kent and Anna, Kent being the oldest and Anna his wife, and the new baby, Melody Joy, is that correct, her name? So that's a recent addition to, actually there's two people missing from the photo, although Melody hadn't arrived yet at the wedding. So a little bit about the geography and photos. You know, this is obviously the continent of Africa. Down in the dark reddish brown is Mozambique on the southeastern tip of Africa. That island across the way is Madagascar, you've all heard about. You can see the two stars, hopefully. The blue one up to the north is Nampula, and then down to the south is Maputo. I keep wanting to call it Maputo, but that's the capital. A little bit higher education level, a little bit higher drive in the individuals from the people of the capital than what you see in Nampula. So the people that come up from the capital reside and engage in business and ministry in Nampula that are from Maputo seem to flourish quite a bit more because they've got a lot more drive in education. And some distance references from one to the other is 865 miles, almost as far, and this is by air as a crow flies. Nampula to Johannesburg is 1,054 miles, so they're relatively same in distance. It's a big country. There's a long stretch. To drive it is 30 hours. A lot of that is road conditions and things like that. You notice a longer drive to Johannesburg, but it's actually a little bit quicker. That's because of better road conditions. The topographics and climate in Mozambique is beautiful. This is a picture I took from the airplane window, and you see a lot of that as you move around Nampula or Mozambique in general. Here's a Google Earth image. You know, being in the solar business, I spent a lot of time on Google Earth looking at aerial shots, and I thought this was interesting because this is a close-up, and it looks like a lot of homes, very densely populated. These are, for the most part, little 10 by 10, 10 by 20, at the most, mud huts, essentially. In the rainy season, in some of the really, really poor areas, their homes are just reduced to a pile of mud, and they rebuild them every year. Very tough climate, no infrastructure, no sewage, no water supply. And this is what it looks like at eye level. So here's zooming out a little bit. You can see the density of that sort of housing. Here's a bigger shot, and just kind of shows you zoom out. For 10 miles by 7 miles, it's just very dense of these little either primitive structures, mud huts, or there are some homes. There's some modern construction, but not a lot of it. Give you an idea down here. I don't have a pointer. I actually gave it to Charles, and I didn't feel like taking the one off my 9mm. I didn't want to scare anybody. So down to the central, you know, lower portion is, there we go, is Nampula. So down here is Nampula. Over here to the west is the Grace Medical Surgical Center, the Woodrow's house. And then up here is the Rapali property. That's about 5 miles, pretty short drive, just to give you some idea of the distance. Get that teed up again in case I need it. Thank you, Dave. Here's an aerial shot of the Nampula property. And here is the hospital, and that's a little open facility canopy where they have a lot of, you know, just events. Their feast and fellowship, their monthly worship that Achilles started, happens under there, and they cook. This is the Woodrow residence back here, and then back here they've built, in the process of building, a new cottage for short-term ministries, missionaries. This is the Rapali property up to the northwest, I pointed out, and in, we'll dig into some of this towards the end of the slide. And I apologize for moving kind of fast, but we do have to cover quite a bit, and I'd like to have a little time for questions and answers. So this is a couple sites you see. These are chickens. They're not dead chickens. They're live chickens. Some of them are dead. But this is at the market. This is what you see, and it's kind of a sad deal to see. You know, as you're driving down the road, every little village kind of has its own agriculture or owned industry. This one happens to make charcoal. And there's a method to it. It's a particular tree. They dig a big pit. They light it on fire. They cover it up for a certain amount of days. There's actually a toxic vapor comes out of it, so they've got to be very cautious there. But this whole village makes charcoal. And then as people are going down the road, there's a marketplace in town. Anybody and everybody can grab a bag of charcoal, throw it on their head, and head on down the road, and they get paid for transporting it once they get down there. There's also trucks that come by and load up a bunch. Another section, these are cashews. There you'll see little 10 by 10 pop-ups. They're actually not pop-ups. I mean, they're bamboo and stuff, but you'll just see one after another, and they're selling cashews, and they're roasting them in the ground, and you really got to question the sanitation. We ate a ton of them. We just rolled the dice, but you see this all day long, and some of the things you see them carrying on their heads, I mean, bed frames, mattresses, and they walk for miles. It's amazing. They have a little chili pepper about that big. They claim it's the hottest chili in the world. It's not. You know, they need to come to Texas. Just like I say, go to Mozambique. They need to come here. The Woodrows have several guard dogs on their property, and they breed the dogs and they sell them. High mortality rate because there's parvo, and, you know, with all the other medical needs, you know, treating the dogs is a way down the list of priorities. That picture's probably familiar. This is the hospital, which the structure is completed. Again, I'm gonna backtrack to that later. Here's the Woodrow House, their primary residence. Beautiful place, open air, you know, no air conditioning, very dry climate. Real quick, I'll go through this. This is the island of Mozambique, which was actually a major port for slavery exportation back in the days where, you know, all the colonists came in and took over the countries and were, you know, taking slaves captive and exporting them. This bridge is about a mile long. And it's one lane, so if you want to get on the aisle or get on the island, you have to hope that there's nobody coming the other direction. There's a couple of spots where you can pull over and squeeze one by the other, but it's pretty brutal on the weekends, I hear. This is the fort, the military fort, and they've also got a museum on the island. These are just some locals selling, you know, there's some squid and octopus and a big squid, by the way, if you're into squid, lobster. This here is the very first church in all of Mozambique. And Charles had never been to it. We met some kid, called himself Harry Potter. And he was a tour guide. He was infatuated with my sandals. He said they're all really cheap Chinese stuff that we get here. So I gave him my sandals at the end of the day and went home barefoot. But he said, oh, yeah, I know where the church is, you know. So he takes us out in the middle of the jungle and dirt roads, and there it was. That was very cool to see, but totally abandoned. Has been for decades, if not centuries. This was the governor's palace. Here's a picture of the inside. I mean, it looks like something out of a scary movie. Vines as big as your arm growing up and just holes. You had to watch where you walk. But that was the old governor's palace back in the day of slave exportation. This was a clearinghouse, an auction house for slavery, and they had underground tunnels for protesters or people trying to escape or whatever. They transported them to the dock through an underground tunnel. Thought this was cute. That's their emergency exit sign. And they're hoofing it. As you can see, they got their arms up. So I think that was at the museum. Just thought that was cute. So, well, good. We're here. Current affairs. We're making pretty good time. Let me go through some of these history bullet points. I know a lot of you have heard some of this stuff, and I apologize for not looking at the crowd, but I'm going to read through them pretty quick. In 1993, any sort of evangelical activity was banned by the government. It was communist rule, flat out illegal. So it was really the hand of God that allowed Charles to even go there. And the reason they let him in, obviously, is because he was a surgeon. And he was there as a training surgeon to train the locals. In 1998, Editora Fiel, which translates to faithful publishers, they translate books into Portuguese, and they do conferences. That's a Fiel conference we've been talking about quite a bit that just finished up. They do it every year. But in 98, they reached out to Charles. They had their first conference in 2000. Around that time, they opened their bookstore. It was the second bookstore in all of Mozambique back in the day. Some of the challenges, there's 22 tribal groups in Mozambique and 22 separate languages. With the national language being Portuguese, of course, because they colonized the country. 15-year civil war, very bloody, very brutal, a lot of guerrilla warfare tactics. They claimed their independence in 1975. At that point, there was a mass exodus to the colonists. They just packed up and left. Okay, the problem with that is only 5 to 10% of the Mozambicans could read or write, and it's because they were intentionally oppressed. The ones that did have an education were only allowed by law to be educated to the fifth grade. And that was so they knew enough to, you know, listen to the plantation owner or whatever, do this, do that. But that was the limit. So here's what they walked away from and left, you know, these people, very, very few educated people at the time. Next 15 years, and this is really the driving force why Charles opted to go to Mozambique. The next 15 years, it was determined the poorest nation in the world. 1985, it was named the highest level of human suffering in the world, nicknamed the darkest place on earth. And so that was Charles's motivation to go there. So if nothing else, that should tell you a great deal about Dr. Woodrow. Because he, you know, as a surgeon in the U.S., he could have had anything he wanted. He walked away from a great deal to serve over there. You know, on that note, I don't know if you've seen, you know, one of his passages, favorite passages, is 2 Chronicles 16:9. And he recites it way better than I do. And he says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." Okay, that's Charles to a T. That is his driving force, because he knows the Lord's eyes are constantly moving to and fro, looking for people that have a heart after the Lord. You know, if you've ever seen the movie Schindler's List, and at the end of the movie, you know, the war's over, they freed the Jews, and he's looking at this fancy car he owned, and he's weeping. I could have sold the car and saved 10 more people. I could have sold this. This is not that. That is not Charles. That guy is all in. What he sacrifices of his own belongings, his own income, his time, he is 100% in. So when you're thinking, when's a hospital going to open? There is so much more going on for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ than the hospital. You know, there are some unfortunate setbacks, obviously, over the past decade or so to get the hospital built, but that has not stopped his efforts for the advancement of the gospel. 1992, Marxism dismantled. This stat's a little bit old, but 20% of the people claim to be Muslim, 20% claim to be Catholic, 30% claim to be Protestant Christians. Here's the problem. Almost 100% of them are still animist, meaning they believe in many gods. So even though they claim to be Christians, they had the Bible, they learned about Christ, well, what that became was one more god to them. And so that's where you have your kind of so-called Christian. You know, they claim to be Christian, but is there a true conversion? And that is really the challenge. Achilles, who you've met, the little dentist, you'll see photos of him. He was preaching the Sunday we were there, and he was talking about getting over malaria recently, and he was struggling with it. He wasn't, you know, shaking it. And all of his friends and family are saying, "Achilles, you know, Christ is not enough. You need to go to the witch doctors." And, you know, that is the priesthood of, you know, the local religion is through the witch doctors. And Charles will tell you, he's seen some amazing things. There's some evil forces at work, because he's seen the witch doctors heal things that ought not be healed. But the point is, most of these people, even though they're going to church, they have a Bible, they believe in Christ, essentially, they still have these other gods and other belief systems, which is a major challenge there. Little bit about the hospital. I can spend a lot of time on that, so that's a tough one. But once the government was kind of dismantling, extracting, the Canadian government refurbished the Marair Hospital. So it was nice and clean and painted, but there was no materials, no supplies. And Charles, unbeknownst to him, was going to be reassigned by the government to that hospital. Well, what they didn't know is there was already a container of materials coming. One of the stories, a bank had taken over a medical facility, a surgical center. They had tens of thousands of dollars of equipment available for auction. And at the time, the ministry had virtually no money. Charles offered a $700 bid, and they called him back, said, "Well, you're the only person that bid. But we can't be reasonable. We can't take $700 for all of this." And so he tells them the story about the church, and all. They hear the word church, they're like, "Whoa, wait a second. You mean you're a nonprofit?" We could donate this and take a loss, a write-off on our taxes. So for $700, he got all of the surgical equipment he could possibly imagine. So this was for the Marrero Hospital back in the day. Ran 8 years without interruption. Almost all of that 8 years, Charles was the only surgeon. He had a lot of staff and everything, but because he was doing such a phenomenal job, far above what the local medicine was providing, in low mortality rates, you know, just effectiveness, the sheer number of surgeries he was running through, they left him alone. And every morning he would have a little church service and would sell Bibles for a dollar and hand out tracts and trained all of his staff to witness to these people. So there's a video, I'll see if I can get it back in the loop on the website, but it's not video, it's an audio of one of his presentations, goes through all of this and just bring a, you know, a jerk tear from a glass eye, as I like to say. Just amazing. And then the Minister of Health, or Minister of Surgery under the Minister of Health, was dead set on closing him down. And some of God's intervention that kept that from happening is just amazing. Well, just absolutely warm your heart to know what's going on over there. So with that, let's get back on task here. A quick overview of the ministries, what's going on out there. There's a bookstore we talked about in the library. That's in the hospital building. It's open to the public. It doesn't get a lot of activity outside of the FEAL conference, but you know there are some regular visitors that go there. Church planting was one of the early things on the agenda while they were out there, and there's a couple of churches in motion now because of those efforts. The FEAL conference, this is a big deal. This is probably the biggest deal of all the things associated with the ministry down there. This is a pastor's conference that just ended like 2 days ago. And in fact, our pastor was there, as you guys know. He's en route on the way back now. I understand it was Achilles. His comment was it was the greatest conference ever. I guess it was wonderful. I'll circle back to that when we talk about the Rupali property development. There's a lot of literature distribution. They usually sell books for half the cost at the conference, half of the cost to the ministry. So you know, a lot of the giving we give and other people give, and a lot of Charles's personal money goes to buy those books so they can sell them at half price and get them out there in the hands of the people that need them. Mission Ecclesia. This even has the is on the radar screen of Heart Cry Ministries, which is a huge ministry. That's Paul Washer's ministry. Paul Washer intended to go next year to speak at the conference. He's having some health issues. Don't know if that's going to happen or not, but Valoy, Bila, and Ibrahim are the two leaders of this, three leaders. I gave three names there. They are essentially the reformers of Mozambique, if not Africa. They are fixated on solid reformed theology, the doctrines of grace, and they get it. When Charles is holding a conference right now where he does a lot of individual seminars and everybody takes a test at the end of the day with Charles, this guy, Valoy, aced it. He's a reading machine. We sent a bunch of books down with Hannah Malone, who's their new admin down there. So Mission Ecclesia is a very big deal with a tremendous amount of traction and wonderful teaching. Evange Africa is an orphanage we support. They're not directly related to Grace Medical, but there's a lot of information there. I've got a little prayer sheet I want to hand out at the end, and some details about them are on that. You know, they have a child with autism. They spent a couple of years in the U.S. to kind of get him some treatment and training and know how to deal with that, get some establishment and fundraising and the nonprofit. Well, they're back in Mozambique. Living conditions are tough. Victor Carlos spoke here one day. You may remember that. He's fully energized. They do a tremendous amount. But the orphanage is open again. The government had kind of, there was not a clear version of exactly what happened, but the government wouldn't allow the orphanage for a while. They've got a school they've built and they're teaching. Achilles and his dental practice, again, indirect, but very closely associated with Charles and his operation. The surgical center, talk about that a little bit more. And part of the reason I want to play the video is all of those staffing needs are still there. You know, when I got involved, I'm kind of a, you know, work with what you got sort of guy, you know, crawl before you walk and walk before you run sort of mentality. And, you know, Charles wanted to right off the bat recruit, you know, two surgeons, which is less than 2% of all the medical people in the world. let alone that want to walk away and go into permanent mission field, that are five-point Calvinist, that are willing to build their own houses. So this was the top of the list. I'm like, okay, we need to back up a little bit and work with what we got. So it's kind of what we're doing now, and getting the dental clinic open in there is a big deal. And I'm going to drop it at that and circle back to it. But there's still a need. That's why I played the video. He kind of goes through all the people you need to run a hospital, even on a small scale. What's going on in Africa right now is there's a liberation. You know, there was a civil war 20 years ago in Mozambique, but in general, the people of Africa, all of the nations, you know, they were totally pilfered and adulterated back in the days when they were colonizing and capturing slaves and exporting them. And although that's not going on anymore, the influence of the colonists is, and the African people want to take back what's theirs. Everything from culture, religion, clothing, languages. You know, I say clothing because this shirt is made out of a kapalana, which is basically just a 3-square-meter piece of fabric, and it's one size fits all. You know, whether you're 5 years old, you fold it in half and wrap it around you, and if you're a full-grown female, you just wrap it around you. And that was the easy way to dress the people, you know, when the colonists took over. So that's a dangerous thing, this wanting to take it back when you get to the religious point, because they want their old religion, or they want religion. People yearn for some sort of redemption through a higher power. So even though there's this huge revival going on, it doesn't mean it's a Christian revival. So time is critical right now that the accurate word of God be presented. Also, why Mission Ecclesia is so critical. And these guys are teaching at a college campus level. They're just amazing. They're formulating ministry to go out into the villages and plant churches and plant, you know, similar type activities with the reading clubs. We're okay on time. There's not going to be a lot of Q&A, but let me roll through some of these. As far as some of the current events, this is the cottage, you know, one of the crawl before you walk sort of things. There's no living for short-term missionaries or long-term missionaries, so it's tough to get them out there. So this cottage is a really big deal. It could house 4, 5, 6 people, a big family, a small family, and a couple individuals, and first of probably a couple cottages that are there on the Rapali property. The only reason it ceased production for a little while is because of the FIEL conference. They'll get right back after it. So that's a big deal that will be there. There's our pastor and Achilles, the little dentist who came to visit with us and do a little stateside training. Belinda commented the pastor looks a little fit and trim. We call that the Nampula diet. We're going to write a book on it and make a bunch of money and give it to Grace Medical. But, yeah, you'll shed a few pounds if you do go. You know, there's other reasons to go, but... Okay, this is a big deal. You know, Achilles, coming out of dental school, almost went into the military for financial needs. He's got a wife, a newborn baby. We're really pushing him to, you know, pursue the dental, you know, vocation. So he is working in the surgical center. He's renting a space from Charles, or maybe he's not renting it, I don't know, but he's occupying it. Government came in, did the inspection, checked everything out, said it looked great, and cut him loose. And so one of the prayer concerns in the prayer list we'll hand out is he needs a real dental chair. Right now he can do extractions, a little bit of cleaning stuff, minimal procedures. Really, and the board has green-lighted the purchase of the chair, but they're looking for one. You know, it's not like going to Home Depot and buying a dishwasher, boys and girls. It's tough, and you might be – there's scoundrels out there. Getting it shipped over is a challenge. So you know, make that a matter of prayer. But we're so grateful, you know, that, and just rejoice that he's doing that. He's married to Sakina, is having a lot of health issues. They've got a baby girl, Yushena, and Sakina's father a couple weeks ago just died suddenly. Arnaldo, you may know, is the first convert of Grace Missions back in the day. Was Charles's right hand man in the surgery center. Now works for the government hospital. His wife is Muslim. And absolutely would not have anything to do with raising the kids. And even though they were raised Christian, she would not participate. Last I heard, she had left him or was planning on leaving him, and very disheartening. The last VL conference had 258 registered attendees, but you also have volunteers and sometimes spouses, sit in that may not be in that number. Pastor Bryant spoke there. Achilles said it was like I think I mentioned, said it was the best conference they've ever had. They have like three trucks to transport things. All three of them are broken down right now. The challenging part of that is, to develop the Rapali property for long-term missionary housing and conferences. They were bringing a bunch of materials in from South Africa. The truck got held up for a month and a half or some ridiculous amount of time. They were basically trying to hold it hostage at the border for bribery. And, that's common day up there. And then there was mechanical problems. The driver and the mechanic got malaria. He's been up there three times. He came, part of the reason the third truck is broken down is because he cannibalized parts because he couldn't get them anywhere else. Took him from Nampula up to the border to try to fix the truck. He's made three trips up there to fix this truck. So one truck was broken down, one's now broken down, and the other one's missing parts because they cannibalized it. Now, that's not their means of transportation. They've got the Land Rovers, and another missionary loaned them a vehicle while it's being sold, and there's no purpose for it for the next couple of months. Another development, Hannah Malone, who y'all may have met or seen an introduction on, is working as an admin, doing a lot of the bookkeeping and newsletter stuff that kept Charles tied up, so we're thankful there. So the next big deal is this big red container getting out of here. The supplies there give Charles what he needs to now walk, beyond crawling from a surgical perspective. With these materials, he can get the facility inspected and licensed by the government. So even if they're doing, minimal surgeries, outpatient stuff, it's something. And it's a big step forward. So that's what we're looking for there. One of the encouraging things, the inspector came out to walk it with him and look at the facility and say, okay, you need to do this, this, and this. Well, the inspector was actually one of the nurses that worked for Charles back in the Marere Hospital and knew Charles and saw what Charles had done in the past. And so there was a little bit of camaraderie there that's going to help, hopefully, a great deal. And, just another example of where the Lord has worked mightily and what's going on over there. Evang Africa had a youth conference. It was very successful. I don't know. I was trying to get some photos, and like usual, I was behind the eight ball, so I didn't get them in time. But wonderful turnout. As my understanding, a couple hundred kids. Let me go through some slides here, and there's a couple more of Achilles. See if I can get caught up on this front. This I showed before, the eye level view. That's actually the road to Achilles' home. And this is the road. It looks like a walkway or a path. And people, I'm taking this shot. You can see the reflection through the windshield. They're looking at you like you've lost your mind, driving a Land Rover back in there. And if it was wet, you wouldn't pass some of those places. Front view of the hospital, a couple interior shots of the hospital. It's a beautiful facility. It cost roughly $1 million to build, but construction-wise, it is complete. You can see it's a very clean, first-world type standards. There's one of the rooms. This is really going into the Rapali property now. The landscape is beautiful. It really is. So here's a couple of shots from the property, the rock formations that are out there. This property, roughly 20 acres, was essentially jungle area when Charles bought it. So all of the clearing and improvements he's done, the irrigation, because it floods during the rainy season, so he's got some rock walls and a little retention pond. This is just a little pavilion. This is where we were greeted when we went up there, and a lot of the locals, led by Bonifacio, is that? They were singing, in African. It was really wonderful. So here's the creek that is very, very active in the rainy season. Then there's a little lake, and you'll see the locals come and bathe in that. It's not a lake, it's a pond at best, kind of like a farm tank, stock tank, we'd call it. Here's a roadway they're kind of building with cobblestone. Materials and labor are incredibly cheap, so makes a lot of sense to just keep driving forward on that. That's the front gate and what the wall looks like. Wall's not totally complete. This, I turned it the other way just to kind of give you a little bit of an idea of what it looks like. It's on the main highway coming out of, just first and main type. This is the kind of property Walmart would look for if they were going to build. beautiful piece of property. The highway is first world standards. It was built by a Chinese corporation that was contracted to do it. But what you see here, that road looks like a little, you know, road track. That's the dirt road that goes through there. Some of it's cobblestone. These yellow spots are slated for long-term missionary housing. It's not an official deal, but essentially there's a fundraiser underway to fund this. It's about $250,000 project. Part of that is to reimburse Charles for a lot of the expenses he's put into it. Things like there's a water well, but there's not a storage tank to do the conferences there, where, you know, we're kind of maxed out at 250, 300 people. At the other facility, which we have to pay rent on, we could do the field conference here and have up to 600 people. So they need bathhouses, they need a kitchen to get licensing to do that. And these guys will stay in tents. The first thing in that container is a bunch of tents from, you know, 10-person tents that you can get about four people in, from Target, you know, new tents, and they're building platforms. So ideally, that's where we go with the conferences and many other ministry uses to it as well. But then the middle section there in yellow would be long-term missionary housing. The lots in the back with the little white spots, long-term missionary housing, somebody that wants to purchase a lot to build on. Very scenic place. Okay, so that's the end of my slides. Like I said, it's not a fundraiser, but there is a need. Yeah, there was actually a pledge for a matching donation. So all that's in formulation. I got, you know, permission to announce it. It's just not a formal, you know, dropping numbers and stuff like that. And I'm not going to give pledge cards. But this will be a big advancement for the future. You know, they say the best time to build or plant an oak tree, 10 years ago. Okay, so that means do it today. You know, you should have planted it 10 years ago. This is kind of one of those things. We get the hospital open, have, you know, surgical staff, things like that. They're going to need a place to live with some sense of safety. I did not leave a lot of room for questions and answers. I apologize for that. And Tom, I appointed Tom to not let me forget to hand out the prayer sheets. So if we have a couple ushers in the room, maybe they can do that. Those are all things Mozambique, from Evang Africa, the dental chair, the truck, the, you know, fruit of the Fiel conference. So, you know, take that with you and make it a matter of prayer over the coming days. So, and I'm allowed to run over a little bit too, because I don't get up here very much. So it's kind of that plausible deniability thing. Anybody have any questions? Or Belinda, would you like to interject anything?